Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
And, of course, the Geek Cave Podcast, as always, is brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic, whether you're a fan of Sega, Nintendo, RoboCop, Dragon Ball, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And there's still time to order in time for the holidays if you're listening to this podcast within the first couple weeks of December. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, now with new membership options for everyone, including elite plans, so you always get the newest game, and a budget plan to help you save some cash. Plus, their store now carries LEGO products and some of the most popular arcade 1-up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want without worrying about late fees. When you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, or pay a lot less than those in-store prices and keep it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Gentlemen, welcome to December. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Not bad.
Yeah. A little busy.
Yeah, it's busy for everyone. If you have not yet, go back and listen to the comic episode, and you will know that we are right smack dab in the middle of Crystal Steamer and Golden Justin season, where every year, for those who are new to the podcast, by the way, welcome, we take a look back, and every year we change the format a little differently because it's our podcast and we can do whatever the hell we want with it. This year... instead of taking a look at news or topics or anything like that, we're going to be taking a look specifically at the features within the show. So during the comics segment, we took a look at the best and worst subjects of Justin's long box. In the gaming segment, we will be looking at the best and worst pile of shame. More on that a little bit later on. First, hey, Chad.
Yo.
You been up to anything?
Well, I played something.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
Welcome to Demo Derby, where I play the demo of a game and base pretty much my entire opinion on it on that demo. Today, well, yesterday, actually, I played Kogen, Sword of Rewind. I think that's how it's pronounced. Or Kogen, C-O-G-E-N, colon, Sword of Rewind.
Brought to you by Blockbuster.
Yeah. It's released in January of 2022 and is a side-scrolling, two-dimensional platformer with a time manipulation mechanic. All right. Kohaku Otori wakes up in a strange place with her sword talking to her, because that is a normal thing that happens in these kind of games. Her mission? Destroy the robots on the level. And remember that she can rewind time up to 3 seconds if things go belly up. Spoiler alert, things are going to go belly up a lot. All right, before we get into the gameplay, I will like to say that the demo has a couple moments that make me just unreasonably happy. So you start up, and the title scene says, hey, you get to play 20 minutes, try to beat the level in 20 minutes. And after the 20 minutes, it's just going to bring you back to the title screen. So... that's nice. I like having a time frame for a demo where it's like, hey, here's the gameplay. Here's how it runs. This is how long you got. And then we're going to bring you back. And you can try it again. You can play that 20 minutes again. And maybe you'll do better. The next bit is that after learning that we're in a VR simulation so that we don't get hurt, Kohaku stops everything because it's just, it's the JRPG style thing where you have the static picture with the, you know, with the words and like a little, you know, just little phrases, not actually full things. And she says, "I don't mean to break the fourth wall, but is it just me or is only some of this dialogue voiced?" To which her sword responds, "Ah, I neglected to share the note your father appended to this message. The full game is fully voiced."
Ha. Okay.
And just straight up, "It's a nice moment. I thought it was funny because during the game, they ain't no words." Yeah. It's a side-scrolling, sword-slashing, platforming thing. You don't need conversation for that. Conversation's for cutscenes.
True.
So in the demo, you got your 20 minutes, get to the end of the level, beat the boss. Spoiler alert, I did not beat the boss. Pretty standard platforming. You get a double jump, you got sword swipe, and they've got their buttons. You got a dash forward move on a shoulder and a dodge map to the other. It's all very easy to learn, but like the game Othello, a lifetime to master. The time mechanics mapped to the triangle button on the PlayStation, it worked astoundingly well. Super easy to use, barely an inconvenience. Trademark somebody else. Take some time to restore that ability, though. So you use it, and it doesn't show back up. Like, you get 3 seconds, it takes longer than 3 seconds to bring back that time manipulation. But it's only a problem during the final boss, for me. Challenging platforming sections, some that are just flat unfair, but the unfairness is mitigated by the ability to reverse time. So it's like, you go to make a jump and an enemy just shows up out of nowhere. You reverse time. Now you know the enemy's there. You can adapt to it. So it's like, okay, we're going to be unfair because you've got this way of correcting it. All right. And so it never really got too frustrating. Final boss, however, that little companion cube of a booger was mean. I reached him with 5 minutes left of the demo. I never beat him. You know, you got some time for that rewind mechanic to work. Takes about 3 seconds for each second that you use to rewind time. In this boss fight, the timing and the sheer amount of stuff just falling from the ceiling, it just exceeded that cushion. It's the only place in the demo that I felt overwhelmed. But it's a good demo. A really good demo. I would happily play this demo over and over again until I figure out how to beat the boss. But I have a sneaky suspicion that this is the philosophy of the game. You've got challenging levels and nearly impossible boss fights. Like, imagine the difficulty of the original Ninja Turtles on NES, those boss fights, with the platforming difficulty of the original NES Ninja Gaiden. And you're getting close to what this is about. The time mechanic thing makes it palatable. It makes it work better. All right? I won't be picking up the full game. But the demo is excellent. And the demo's worth playing. Just the demo. For me.
You know, adding ketchup to an overly burnt hamburger makes it palatable, but I still don't want to eat it.
Chad, when you...
Yes, sir.
When you gave the example of Ninja Turtles NES and Ninja Gaiden NES, I swear I had NOM flashbacks.
Which is impressive, because you've never been to NOM.
I've never been to NOM, no, but...
Is that Creedence Clearwater Revival I hear in the background?
Better than Ride of the Valkyries.
Oh,
yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I did fight in the console wars, so I guess that's the closest I can come.
God. Wow.
All I'm saying is when it came to video game war crimes, Genesis did what Nintendo don't.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in rare form today, apparently.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yes.
Do you have anything?
Well, thank you for asking. As many of you know, I'm not a hardcore gamer. I don't get a chance to play very often, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the casual gamer in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, what game soundtracks would fit into a wedding reception playlist? Okay. So I've scoured some games, and I think I found some ones that really work. So we've got Alien Isolation, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, Outlast, Dead Space, Alan Wake, Bloodborne, and the 10-hour techno loop of Navi saying, "Hey, listen!"
You think these would work in a wedding?
Well, not my wedding, but a wedding, yes.
You know, he's not terribly wrong. A wedding probably would dig on that. Singular. Of the 8 billion people, of the potential 4 billion weddings, a wedding would probably value that playlist.
Hey, listen! Hey, listen!
Oh my God.
And we're going to throw in, you know, we're going to throw in Tetris, you know, A. And the animal village from The Legend of Zelda that's done with the cat and dog sounds instead of the little...
Oh, from Link's Awakening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then just again, we'll throw in the pirate song from Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. You know, if we're going to go, let's just go all in.
I mean, wedding receptions can last forever. So yeah, the more music, the better.
Yeah, well, that mix sounds like it would last forever, or at least feel like it.
And if Justin's and my children have any say, there's also the 10-hour loop of the Smash Brothers, is it Brawl or Melee theme song?
The newest one for the Switch. Yeah, Ultimate.
Ultimate. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That never gets old.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Hmm. All right, now I'm hearing CCR, so let's move on. anyone play anything this month before we get to the pile of shame?
As a birthday gift from a very loving friend, hi, Darren, I got a copy of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Was that the tagline?
So.
Yeah, it is... an RPG where you play as Mario and a couple of the Rabbids characters. If you don't know what those are, R-A-B-B-I-D-S, look it up. They're weird. I don't like RPGs, but this one's fun because it's... I don't quite know how to describe it. It's silly. I get to do more than just move, pick an attack, and then wait. There's some strategy involved.
Yeah, it's a strategy RPG, yeah.
And it's fun to watch. Because, you know, you get the obligatory Mario, woohoo! And, you know, a few other things. It's just, it's a nice way to ease me into an RPG kind of scenario. Because the ones I've played in the past I did not like. But I'm enjoying this one. So, thank you to Darren for the lovely birthday gift. I hope he's listening.
Oh, I doubt it.
And that's all I got.
Chad, you been playing anything other than your demo?
So I don't remember. Did I talk about Ratchet and Clank last month? I played Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart on the PS5. It was amazing. Definitely worthwhile. Other than that, I've been re-going through the Lara Croft games for PS4 and loving the heck out of them, remembering how absolutely competent they were made, even when you got to watch just the torture porn kind of beginnings of the first one.
Yeah, the Tomb Raider 3 boot was really well done.
Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting. Kena is on my Christmas list for a couple family members, so I almost picked that up based on your review, and I just... stupid Christmas.
Yeah. Dana Bridge of Spirits comes highly recommended. Also, just another big thank you once again to everyone who donated to our Extra Life effort. We raised a little over $3,000 for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Yay!
That was super, super generous as always. If you have not received your prize yet, it is either in the mail or it will be in the mail soon. And again, just a big thank you to everyone who helped out, and let's make next year even more successful. So if you are on our Discord, which you can find the link to at deepcavepodcast.com, and we do highly recommend that you join. Hello to Rummy Aces, our newest member. If you join our Discord, hey, you might get a shout out here on the show, but also you'll get to help shape some of the show's discussions, that kind of thing. And I announced in the Discord that next year I'm going to be taking a bit of a different tact with Pile of Shame. Instead of the games that I've bought and have just not gotten around to for whatever reason, I figure, you know what? 2021 was a rough year for me, so 2022 is going to be Bones Day the year. I'm going to treat myself, and that means every month I'm going to be playing one of the best games of all time, because 2022 will be the year of the games of the year, and I'm starting off with Ocarina of Time, or Ocarina of Tim, or however you want to pronounce it. And there's already some debate in the Discord about how good...
Yeah, I saw that.
About how good Ocarina of Time is, so...
Or isn't.
Yeah, that's coming in the January podcast. That's what I've been playing right now. I've been working my way through The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Greg, and you'll find out... You'll find out what that's like in January.
It's Ocarina of Time, but it's T-H-Y-M-E.
Yeah, that's what it should be. All right, but anyway.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to... Darren's Pile of Shame.
Thank you, Kent. All right. So, the year 2020.
Not again.
It was a difficult year for many, not least of which CD Projekt Red, because they rushed a game to market that was clearly unfinished, and its name was Cyberpunk 2077. We talked a little bit about it last year, had a brief review of it, and I believe I said something along the lines of, this game's not finished, don't buy it. Well, it's a year later. It's time. It's time.
Wait, Darren.
What?
One year later.
Okay. It's time to return to Night City. Let's see if the extra years worth of cooking made this thing more of a souffle and less of a shit sandwich. All right, so for those of you unfamiliar, Cyberpunk 2077 starts with the selection of one of three life paths for your player character V. You can either be a street kid or a nomad or a corpo. More on what the hell a corpo is in a minute. And your choice really doesn't matter. You end up living a new life in Night City with a local thug and having various adventures. And it's a first-person RPG / shooter. The shooting is in real time, so action RPG, I guess. You're hired to steal a biochip known as the Relic from a corporation. And corpos are people who work for corporations. Corporations basically run the world at this point. Think Demolition Man when Taco Bell won the restaurant wars. So that, except with everything. So corporations are they're bigger than the government at this point. They are the people you do not want to F with. But you do manage to acquire the Relic. The plan goes awry when you happen to witness the murder of the corporation's leader by his son, who then promptly pins the blame on you because, well, you know, drama. Things go pear-shaped, I guess cybernetically pear-shaped. Your two partners die. You manage to get out with the relic, and it's damaged, but you got to do something with it. So you insert the relic into your head. Bit of an aside here. Everyone is so technologically advanced by 2077 that putting microchips in your head is a perfectly normal thing, like a USB port, except it's USB-C, so you don't have to keep turning it over three or four times to manage to actually get the freaking thing in. By doing so, you are possessed by Johnny Silverhand, one Keanu Reeves, who apparently they grafted his personality onto the chip and all his memories, and it's some real Ghost in the Shell level Deus Ex MacGuffin stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah. Johnny's a terrorist. Johnny last lived in 2023. That's right. 2 years from now, kids. And he died in a thermonuclear attack on a corporation. So, you know, everyone start putting stuff down on your bingo cards just in case. But apparently, the resurrection nanotech on the biochip has been triggered, and he is slowly overriding your brain and will either kill you or become you. So I guess you're like the villain in a Batman movie. Anyway, through reliving Silverhand's memories, V learns that there's a way to fix it. There's this super important artificial intelligence called Soul Killer, blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's been a year. Y'all are here just to find out, does this game work? Does it actually freaking work? And my answer is yes, but.
No, no.
Yes, but there are some qualifications. CD Projekt Red took a whole lot of crap to fix this because they should have took crap. They pushed this thing out in such a state that Sony did something Sony has never done, and that is they pulled the game from the PlayStation Marketplace for 6 months and would not let you buy it digitally because they were so fed up with refund requests. So it got put back on the store, and everyone's like, is it okay now? Yes, but when it works,
okay.
When it works, and I played through it on PC, and I also revisited on PS4. Thank you, GameFly, on my PS5. So a little bit skewed there, but just to compare, I did my homework on PC, and I'm talking like a high end, really well made PC, or your PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series, whatever's. It runs beautifully, and it looks beautiful, and this game is a technical marvel, and it is super fun to play, and the gunplay is so smooth, and the voice acting is great, and the characters are believable, and it's a world that you want to be in. But if you have a base PlayStation 4 or a base Xbox One, avoid this game like people should have avoided the plague. This game has just not... It does not run on generic PS4s, generic or the original PS4 model. It does not run. It's choppy. Some of the glitches are still present no matter what model, no matter what format you're playing it on. My V was a guy. And by the way, you can actually increase your junk size in your character creation. I mean, it's fully endowed with features. But there's one point where I'm on a motorcycle, and for those who are not familiar with the jargon, there's something called a T-pose, which is where a character that has not yet been fully programmed to be animated stands in a generic, almost Jesus-like pose because it's waiting to be told what to do. My V is on a motorcycle. He stands up, does the T-pose, and his pants disappear. I can still control the motorcycle. I can still have conversations on this motorcycle because you can make phone calls and stuff on your headset. So he's just riding on the motorcycle, doing 120 miles per hour, everything flapping in the breeze. And I can't tell if this is a bug or a secret feature.
Oh, it is definitely a feature. It has got to be a secret feature.
But when I played this last year, I couldn't finish the game because there were some bugs that were so bad that important characters wouldn't spawn. You couldn't actually trigger story missions. That's not the case now. What they've done in a year is make this game close to what they promised, but only if you are playing on high-end hardware or you're playing on a PS5 or a Series whatever. So, do I recommend you play Cyberpunk 2077 one year later, especially since it goes on sale routinely for like $10 at Best Buy? Absolutely. I absolutely recommend it. But not if you have a base PlayStation 4 or a base Xbox One. This thing will chew the innards up and spit them out. You're going to need something with a lot more power, so at the very minimum, play it on PS4 Pro or Xbox One X. Not S, X. But if you have one of the next-gen consoles available to you or you do have a beefy PC, absolutely play Cyberpunk 2077. It is a blast to play. The world is engaging. The characters are great. There are so many side quests. I maybe did half of the side quests, and I easily put 80 hours into this game. So, yeah.
Damn.
They did a lot. If you like Blade Runner, you'll find a lot to like here. If you like Ghost in the Shell, you'll find a lot to like here. If you just like cyberpunk stuff in general, and if you like Keanu Reeves, you'll find a lot to like here. If you liked Akira, there's a great homage to Akira. It's worth picking up, especially at its discounted prices, as long as you have the proper hardware. So again, should you play Cyberpunk 2077? Yes, but.
Wow.
All right.
Here we are. 12 months of shame later. It's time for us to determine the worst and the blurst as we are going through the Crystal Steamer nominees. So, here's what I did this year. These are the official entries in Pile of Shame. Some months I did multiple reviews, but these are the official entries. In January, Lost Planet Extreme Condition, then Spirit of the North, Trials of Mana, Days Gone and Bulletstorm. That was a twofer, because Bulletstorm was so short. Immortals Fenyx Rising, Metroid Zero Mission, G.I. Joe Operation Blackout, and Biomutant, another twofer. That's because I honestly couldn't finish G.I. Joe Operation Blackout. River City Girls and Skyward Sword, Forgone and Final Fantasy IV, Medium, Tales of Berseria, and Cyberpunk 2077. If I have to pick the absolute worst thing out of this list of games...
And you do.
Yeah, I do. I am torn. Because July was two games that month, Operation Blackout and Biomutant. And honestly, both of them are among the worst damn things I've played in quite some time. Biomutant, because it was so disappointing, and it also felt like it wasted my time at every turn. And G.I. Joe Operation Blackout, because it felt like a giant missed opportunity. The developer managed to get the license, the likenesses, the art, the music, and then the voice acting, everyone thing but the music, actually, for the old 80s G.I. Joe cartoon. But one thing they could not get was actually a game worth playing. So, while there
I
were...
I mean, it can be a tie as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I just... When I come down to it, Biomutant had much higher aspirations. Biomutant, I had much higher expectations than a licensed game. And Biomutant actually legitimately made me mad as I was playing it. As in, like, I can't believe this game is this bad. So, yeah. Crystal Steamer for 2021 goes to Biomutant. Congratulations, you pretentious pile of crap. All right. So, y'all have the list before you. What are your nominees for the Golden Justin?
Chad, why don't you...
All right, so the Bulletstorm review was one of the funniest to me. I mean, it was short, but it was funny.
That game's so fun.
Immortals got me to play Immortals. As Darren put it, the best game with the worst name. And honestly, G.I. Joe Operation Blackout just seemed to disappoint Darren the most, which somehow activated that terrible person portion of my brain that made me laugh and just kind of enjoy... that review, even as it's like, you know, the head in your hands kind of shaking as you're talking about this terrible event that's happened. I think my pick, though, is Immortals for no other reason than the review and the game made for the biggest running gag for the rest of the year.
Now, see, I may have been asleep that month, but I've never heard of Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Oh, shut up!
So, go back and listen.
This one just slipped under the radar. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Go back and listen to the May podcast. It really good review by our very own Darren Wright that month.
Thank you, Darren. I hope you're listening. Yeah, no, that gets my vote too. Immortals Phoenix Rising. If for no other reason than the continued what the fuckery that we've put Darren through.
And it's a good review. I mean,
It is. It's a good game. It's a good review.
Rewarding the game, although the game is good.
No, but I'm just saying it's the all-in-one package. It was a good review, it's a good game, and it provided fun content for us for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, there we go. Immortals Phoenix Rising. Congratulations on the Golden Justin. You gave us joy months after I was done playing you. Again, I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Don't forget to check out the rest of the Geek Cave network of stuff, including You Want Me to Watch What? And coming in January, the Week 3 podcast, which, you know, it's pretty much self-explanatory. It's a podcast on the third week of the month. What do you want from us? Also, on YouTube, we've got Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics. We also have the occasional TLDR podcast whenever we can get around to them, or if there's a story big enough where we're like, shoot, we could use some of those sweet, sweet clicks. Find us on your favorite podcast service, including now Good Pods, where you can leave us a tip. And I don't just mean don't eat lead. We've gotten plenty of those jokes already. And, of course, join us in the conversation on social media at Geek Cave Podcast on Twitter, at Watch What Pod on Twitter, Facebook.com/Geek Cave, and our new Discord channel, which you can find a link to and an invite to at GeekCavePodcast.com. Be sure to check out the movie segment. That's tomorrow. Have a happy holiday and a happy new year. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.